Studies in Motion, The Hauntings of Edward Muybridge, a new play by Vancouver playwright Kevin Kerr, had its world premiere last Wednesday at the Frederick Wood Theatre over in UBC. Laura Lamb was there, and she joins me this morning to share her thoughts. Hi, Laura.
Morning, Mordecai.
So you saw a world premiere based on the play, based on the life and work of Edward Muybridge. Who was Edward Muybridge?
Well, he was a photographer, a 19th century photographer. And his most famous, his most famous achievement is that he managed to take photographs which were fast enough, instant enough, of racing horses to show that horses, when galloping, had their all four hoofs off the ground at once, which was a matter of contention at that time. People weren't sure because you couldn't see it. This was his first claim to fame, and subsequent to that, this new technology that he had invented, which was able to produce a sequence of really fast photographs, instantaneous images of movement, which froze the movement and broke it down. He used this technology, which was his own invention, undertake a vast project, which was called Animal Locomotion, in which he set up a series of cameras which could take these photographs in front of a huge grid painted on a wall, and then these animals which included zoo animals, farm animals, and probably most importantly humans, moved across this grid, and these photographs were taken. And the photographs of humans were mostly nude, although some were dressed and some were what's called draped, which was kind of something that referred to classical garments, Greek kind of things. And they were shown doing simple motions such as walking or fighting or... In my photography class the other day, I showed my students one where a woman is shown walking and throwing a kerchief over her shoulders. So those kind of simple movements, and he produced thousands of these. If people aren't familiar with them, they may have seen the publicity for the Push Festival that this play is part of, where they have a picture of a man in a suit, leapfrogging over another man. So those are the kind of photographs. Usually they're a series of frozen moments.
So when, give me the dates. When did Edward Muybridge live?
The dates of his research were around 1880s. He was born, I think, in 1830, something like that.
Okay. Now, it sounds like science and the study of motion, but this is a play. It's art. So was this play intended as sort of to stress the science, or?
Oh, well, the photography itself has this interesting position between science and art. When it was the project, this undertaking of Muybridge was meant as a tool, was meant to produce a visual tool for scientists and artists. The work itself, although Muybridge considered himself an artistic photographer in his other work, this work was not considered to be art. But it was meant as a photography at the time. There was an expression, photography should be a handmaiden to the arts. In other words, a painter could look at the photographs and use them, but photography itself was not considered to have the status of art. So that was its first role, and then later, perhaps at the beginning of the 20th century, these photographs were greatly valued as a precursor to the motion picture because they could be speeded up. And Muybridge also invented a machine which would allow you to see a series of these slides and have the illusion of movement. So that was really the first motion picture. So it was then valued as a technology. But then even later on in the 20th century, it became... These photographs of Muybridge became valued as art in themselves, as things to be looked at aesthetically and with wonder. So the status of his work has changed over the years in that way. And I think that's one of the things that makes it interesting as a subject matter for this play.
So the play's first title is Studies in Motion. The second part of the title is The Hauntings of Edward Muybridge. Is it a ghost story?
Well, not exactly, but Muybridge in the play, and I suppose in real life perhaps, is haunted by an incident in his personal life, which was very melodramatic, worthy of possibly the plays that were produced at that time, the melodramas with revenge and murder and abandonment of a child, adultery, etc. And so he is haunted by those events in his life and perhaps by guilt.
So how do these two dimensions work together in the play?
Well, the central metaphor of the play, which is worked out very well, is that human narrative, as the playwright puts it, is also emotion, like the animal motions, and also emotion. So emotion and actions of relationships can also be broken down, and they are broken down in this play through art, the way Muybridge broke down motions, these simple movements, through technology in order to examine what might not be visible at first.
Uh-huh. So now the production. These stories are told in this play. How are they told?
Well, I was really blown away just by the opening scene, and that maybe is a way to get into the production. The first thing you see, or the first thing you do, is you hear this great music. It's composed for this play by Patrick Pennefather. It's very propulsive. It had a kind of a comic edge, and at the same time was a little bit eerie. It reminded me a bit of circus music, and then I read that Pennefather has written circus music, so that makes sense. And you see on the stage a grid similar to the photographs of Muybridge, and which makes the stage look a little bit more one-dimensional than it is. And then a nude actor moves in slow motion across the stage, a kind of a bringing to life of these photographs, and then many more actors, and it's all choreographed in a very visually stunning way. It was quite spectacular, and I noticed that in their publicity, the Electric Company, which is the producer of this play, describes their productions as being spectacular. And I noticed that there are many aspects of the production which I could describe that way. There is the music, for one, and then there's the choreography by Crystal Pite or Pete, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. The scenography, which is a lot to do with using light, which of course is very appropriate to photography, scrims and slides and so on, was also quite spectacular. And also nudity. The nudity was absolutely great. There was a lot of it.
Okay, you sound like you're relishing that. But you're using the word spectacular for nudity. Is that simply shock value?
Well, but it probably is partly shock value, that we're not used to seeing nude bodies. And I think, yeah, I took a lot of pleasure in watching those nude people. And I think perhaps that pleasure we take in looking at other naked people is something that's hardwired into us, and we don't really get that much of a chance to indulge in it. Or perhaps it's not hardwired. Maybe it's just that it's forbidden, and so we enjoy it that much more. I don't know. But in our culture, of course, nudity, when we do see it, is very sexualized in a particular way. Not saying that the nudity in this was not sexual in some way, but we're only allowed to look at certain parts of bodies and idealized bodies, bodies that are idealized in a particular kind of way, you know, what we're used to in Hollywood, soft porn, movie stars, Playboy models, and so on. So that wasn't the kind of nudity we were seeing, and so that was a bit refreshing. But also, the nudity is very integral to the meaning of this play, I think, and to the meaning of Muybridge's photographs as art.
Tell me more about that point.
Well, the play works with the emotional impact, I think, of Muybridge's photographs. When you're looking at those photographs, there's a kind of a mystery about them. All photographs have this kind of poignancy that something is gone, something is lost. These people were there and they're not there now. And these ones particularly have that because it's hidden who they are. They're just supposed to be scientific subjects. But yet, because it's photography, you can see they're real people. They're real, just naked people walking across this grid or performing some kind of action across the grid. And you can't help wondering about them. And recognizing that they're gone, which is something that's one of the emotional impacts, I think, of all old photographs. And the nudity heightens this effect because it heightens the subject's vulnerability. And also you're very aware of this kind of absence because their personalities, their dress, which would identify them, is also absent.
Now, this play is a story that's set more than 100 years in the past. You're telling us the sort of the era of Moy Bridges' work, but clearly it's intended to be pertinent and stimulating for our audience today. What would you say about its relevance for today's experience?
Well, it's interesting. Moy Bridges was trying to use technology to break down human vision, to help people see what can't be seen without the aid of technology, to try to show reality that's not perceptible to the eye, right? It was basically a scientific project, and his work led to film. And now that technology, film technology, bombards us with imagery constantly. That imagery is an illusion of movement, which is what came out of Moy Bridges' work, made up of these fragments of reality, which was what he was really intending. So there's an irony there. Now we're very used to things like close-ups. We're used to stop motion. We're so used to it that we don't even notice it. So that expansion of vision that he was working towards has now become below our level of awareness. We're not even aware of it. And I think it could be said that it's more important now than it was then to stop that flow of imagery and to examine or meditate on an image, you know, to stop it and take some time to meditate on it or on motion, as it's used metaphorically here, on emotion or on human narrative. And that's what this play does.
Sounds wonderful. And I can guess from your comments and your depiction of it, you really are strongly recommending that we see it and others see it.
Yeah, I would like to see it again. And you know, one reason I would like to see it again is just to listen to the way the music works with it, you know, to spend a little bit more time concentrating on other aspects of the way this play is produced. It's really a cooperative production. Nothing is really grandstanding. No part is grandstanding, but all parts work towards the whole. Really good that way. And yeah, when we left the theater, my companion said, you know, this play is too good for Vancouver. Not that we don't deserve a good play, but this play should be you know, seen worldwide. It should be seen in major cities. A lot of people should see this play, in my opinion.
Thanks, Laura. I've been speaking with Laura Lamb about the play Studies in Motion, The Hauntings of Edward Moy Bridge. It's playing as part of the Push Festival performances, and it's playing at the Freddie Wood Theatre at UBC until January 29th.